been looking at the damage that algal blooms can cause. On the second of today's underreported segments, we'll look at more positive potential of algae, its use as a biofuel. And joining me now is Dr. Anastasio Zmelis, professor of biology at the University of California, Berkeley. His research focuses on the role that photosynthesis plays in the production of algae-based biofuels. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hi.
Hello.
When did scientists start to think that algae could be used as the basis of a biofuel?
The alga biotechnology industry has been around for quite a few years now, and it is known that microalgae in particular can generate biomass at rates that are perhaps 10 times faster than what we get from crop plants. So this has been on for quite some time. It did not take very long for people to put two and two together. You have a system that can grow very fast, and if one could apply this system, the microalgae, towards the generation of biofuels, that could be potentially a winner.
But we're not talking about just taking algae and making them into a fuel. They're the basis of a biofuel, not the fuel itself.
Yeah, there may be ways to take the biomass itself and convert it via processes like pyrolysis and steam reforming into a mixture of other compounds, some of which can be used as fuel. But this probably will not be optimal. And I think the attention of the field right now is to change these microalgae, perhaps to metabolically engineer them to drive photosynthesis and cellular metabolism towards the generation of a product, something like hydrocarbons in pure form or hydrogen in pure form. So that would be the fuel that will emanate from the photosynthesis of the microalgae.
Well, we're not talking about all algae. What kind of algae is being used in the development of biofuels? Some better suited than others?
Yes, of course. And the limiting factor right now is the application of molecular and biotechnology approaches. Not all microalgae are suitable for that. Mm-hmm. So that, in essence, the technologies that we have before us limit the selection of the microalgae that can be applied. There may be thousands of species of microalgae out in nature. I think we can employ right now, with the technologies that we have at hand, perhaps half a dozen of them.
And we part of the process would be making them grow?
I think the growth the microalgae have taken care of. The challenge for us is to redirect cellular metabolism and make it go not in the direction of sugars, perhaps not in the direction of biomass, but more in the direction of generating something that our society can utilize. That would be a biofuel or some other high-value bioproduct, maybe biodegradable plastics. The capability is there. It's just a matter of modifying the metabolism of the cell to make it go in the direction that we would like it to.
So we're talking about genetic engineering here.
Yes, indeed. Genetic engineering would be one approach. Physiological manipulations can also play a role, selecting the environment, selecting nutrients, along with genetic modification. These are the tools that people would use.
Well, the massive algae blooms are a major source of oil and gas deposits all over the world. Why do we need to adjust them at all? Doesn't nature do that by itself?
Yeah, the blooms are a manifestation and testimony to the ability of these microalgae to grow explosively when provided with enough nutrients and sunlight. Nature provides us evidence there about the ability of the microalgae to grow with phenomenal rates. What we witness, though, is the generation of biomass. I don't think the blooms contain any useful hydrocarbons or hydrogen, at least not in significant amounts.
And that's what we have to get them to generate?
Right. That's exactly what we have to do.
Right now, they do typically produce oxygen, don't they?
Yes, always. The byproduct of photosynthesis is always oxygen. Keeping in mind that photosynthesis entails the capturing of carbon dioxide and the utilization of water along with sunlight to generate biomass, the byproduct of which is oxygen.
Now, we talked in the first underreported segment about algae blooms and the possible negative effects on the environment. How do we avoid creating a negative situation in developing these biofuels?
Well, first of all, we're not going to develop biofuels in the open ocean or in an open lake. The modified microalgae will grow in a fully enclosed environment. So this is one protective measure. The other protective measure is that when we confer upon this microalgae the ability to synthesize and accumulate, say, hydrocarbons or to make hydrogen, in essence, we would be compromising them severely. They would not be able to compete in the wild. They'll never survive if they ever escaped the enclosed environment. And so that affords a safeguard and comfort, I guess.
Well, algae has attracted a lot of investment. Boeing and the Bill Gates Foundation invested in research last year. Exxon announced this summer it would invest $600 million in producing liquid transportation fuels made from algae. Dow Chemical is also investing in it. Now, I would assume that all of that research would have come up with something.
Well, first of all, I'm very happy to hear that these well-known companies have invested in the process of microalga photosynthesis, microalga biofuels. I think we have to give them time to solve the problems that are before us. There are serious problems, barriers that need to be overcome. I don't think the solution is going to appear tomorrow.
And what are those barriers that have to be overcome?
So we talked about changing the metabolic flux in the cells, convincing these microalgae to void the accumulation of biomass, and perhaps to invest their own resources in the direction of generating biofuels. This is not an easy undertaking. There are some fundamental problems in biology that need to be sorted out first. And keeping in mind that in the course of billions, maybe a couple of billion years of evolution, microalgae perfected the art of photosynthesis and biomass accumulation. And they survive very nicely out in the wild. They compete with the tools they have. It's going to take a few years for us to change that and to make it go in the direction of biofuels.
There was a report that Origin Oil had recently reached the highest level of extraction efficiency yet, 97%. What's extraction efficiency?
Extraction efficiency is knowing how much hydrocarbons or oils are contained within the alga biomass. Then they measure how much they actually extracted, and the ratio is a measure of the efficiency.
Well, we're at Exxon estimates that algae could produce as much as 2,000 gallons of fuel per acre each year. Corn yields 250, palm trees 650. So we're talking about a much higher level of fuel creation if we make this thing work. But you say we're years away from coming up with any real solution?
Yes, I think realistically we are probably 5-10 years away from it. The technology or the ability of this microalgae to generate hydrocarbons is there. It's just right now the yields are very low. And so we have to convince them to do better in what they already know how to do. That I think realistically that is going to take 3, 5, maybe 10 years. And it is going to be a single step improvement in the process. I think we're going to see gradual improvements where the yield right now is perhaps 8%, 10% of the overall biomass. Hopefully with time that 8 to 10% will become 15%, then 25%, etc., until we go perhaps up to 80%, meaning that 80% of the metabolic activity of the cells is directed towards the generation of a product that would be useful in the human economy, in our economy.
Meanwhile, the United States is committed to corn-based ethanol, which is a lot less efficient. I would assume that there is some government investment and some foreign government investment, and we'll follow up on this as soon as we can. But thank you so much for participating in Underreported today. I've been talking with Dr. Anastasios Melas, professor of biology at UC Berkeley.
Thank you.
On tomorrow's show, we begin with you and your calls about why you're running in this week's New York City Marathon and what you're doing to prepare for the 26 miles. And then Josh Lieb, one of the executive producers of The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, on his new novel, I Am a Genius of Unspeakable Evil. Also, Dr. Jonathan Edlow shares 15 real-life medical detective stories, plus our latest Please Explain. The Leonard Lopate Show is produced by Blake Neeschick, Stephen Valentino, and Julia Corcoran. Melissa Egan is the executive producer. We had help today from Stephanie Bernhardt and contributing producer Virginia Doris. Debbie Fountain was at the audio controls. I'm Leonard Lopate, your host. We'll see you tomorrow.